kind of funny. Sometimes you look at the Word of God, and I actually was looking at something to share with you from the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And it's a great verse, really. I'll tell you the verse that we were going to look at, and then I'll tell you where we're actually going to go. And we'll look at this verse, I'm sure, at some point. But in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 63, it says, "And Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up, and he saw that, behold, the camels were coming in. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel." Now, this whole thing is talking about how Isaac, and this all does tie into what we'll talk about today, but that whole verse in 63, verse number 63, is talking about how Isaac was responding in a time of his life, in a time of need. And to me, a couple of things that are important. He meditates in prayer. He's out there in the open country. He's removing himself from all the things that would distract him. He has a specific time set aside where he is being with God in prayer, meditating. Most of us don't take the time to do any of those things, and meditation is so important. And that's what I was going to talk to you about today. But then this morning I thought, you know what? I just really feel that this is the Holy Spirit saying. And what I want to share with you this morning, yeah, it's impossible to cover in one morning. But we'll at least look at a few highlights. And it really is from the entirety of chapter 24. Now, I read verse number 63 to you. All right, there's obviously Genesis chapter 24, rather a long chapter, 67 verses in that chapter. So it's a poignant because it's all about one story. And the story is this. Isaac's mother, Abraham's wife, Sarah, has died. And Isaac is struggling through this. Isaac is alone. And there's a void that's there. And Abraham, his father, entrusts to one of his servants, a man that he obviously has a lot of faith and confidence in, and sends him because he wants to find a wife for his son Isaac. But he's in a land that's not the land of his family. He's in a land that's not in the land of his fathers. And he doesn't want his son marrying somebody who is not of the same family, not of the same faith. He doesn't want him intermarrying with people that are not, for lack of better phraseology, are just not God's people. And so he sends the servant back to his homeland and gives him the task of making sure that he finds for his son a wife. Now, he's very specific in what he lays out for this servant to do. But if you look at the entirety, and again, it's a long chapter, 67 verses. Most of it is the just exactly what the servant does, how the servant goes about being obedient to his master and the results of it. And when you look at it, chapter 24 of Genesis. Now, again, remember, I was going to show you something else. I was just going to focus on one verse. But this morning, really quickly, as I was just reading through the entire chapter, I thought, you know what? This is a great chapter to do this. It tells us, because most of it is about the servant. It's what the servant is doing for his master. But it shows us the qualities of a servant and servanthood. It shows us the qualities that really, if you read through Genesis chapter 24, it gives us a really good insight and a demonstration of what God expects for us to be. And the advantages to us when we become a servant like this servant, and we serve the Lord with the same heart and the same attitude. It shows us the qualities we should have, it shows us the resolve that we should have, and it shows us how faithful and how powerful and how awesome God is when we are the kind of servant, when we live our lives not serving self, but acting as this servant did, serving his master. Chapter 24 is a good insight. You could spend a lot of time looking at the qualities and the results of one who truly is living their life as a servant unto God, a life of servanthood. And it's what we're called to be. You know, we know from the New Testament, we know clearly that our lives are not our own. They've been bought with a price through the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not our own. And yet, for the most part, we do choose to live our lives as though they are our own, as though it's up to me to do what all that I desire. I will do the things that I desire, and nobody can tell me differently. That's kind of the mantra of our culture. I will do the things that I desire, and nobody can tell me differently. That's not the heart of a servant. It's not the heart of one who knows and understands that his life is not his own. He's been bought with a price. Now, that doesn't put us in bondage because we're not in bondage. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But to really see the effectiveness of that joint heirship, we have to live our lives as we are, as servants of His, stewards over the things He's entrusted to us, but serving Him, servants of Him. And one of the best chapters, one of the best places you can find out about being that servant, living your life as a servant to God, with that attitude and with the results, is by looking through Genesis chapter 24. Now, again, remember, I was looking at just sharing one verse with you. And it didn't really have to do with serving. It was really focused more on Isaac's response and how Isaac handled things. And we can look at that another time. But that was my intention until I got up this morning. Now, obviously, I didn't have a whole lot of time this morning to change the message. But so we can go a lot deeper than this, and I won't get all these points today. But just really quickly scanning through chapter 24 this morning, I found 17 points, 17 things that you can identify that are qualities of one who is a servant, who's living his life as a servant unto God. 17 qualities. Now, that's with a quick glance. There's 67 verses there. We can probably easily glean a whole lot more than those 17 points. I just found 17 really quickly. Today, as we start this week, do you have the desire to live your life? Do you have the knowledge and understanding that your life is not your own? And that's not a bad thing. When I was living my life as my own, it was mostly disaster. You know, I was living my life as my own. The results are never good. But when I understand that I've been bought with a price, and I've accepted that, and I revel in that, then my life is not my own. It belongs to Him. And when I walk in obedience as a servant, when I walk in obedience to the things that He calls me to do, that's where I'm going to find that He advances me, that He uses me in powerful ways, that there is results that impact not just my life, but it impacts and changes the lives of others. It's where I find contentment and peace. It's where I find success. I know these things sound polar opposites. It doesn't make sense in the natural. In the natural, it would seem to make sense that you know what's best for you, and so you do the things that make sense to advance you in those areas of your life that you want to advance, that you don't submit. You do what you want. You make your own choices. But it's the opposite. The truth is really the opposite. If you are serving Jesus Christ, the best way to find that success, to find the contentment, to find the advancement, to find the peace in your life, to find the fulfillment, to find all those promises coming to pass, is when we put ourselves in the position of knowing that we were bought with a price, our lives are not our own, and that we are servants, and we're joyful in that serving. Not serving as though somebody's in bondage, because again, this is not a servanthood that's in bondage. It's in liberty and freedom that we walk in this service to the Lord. But when we understand that we're servants, that's where we get that peace and contentment. And Genesis chapter 24 and the story of that servant highlights for us and shows us so much of the qualities of one who is a servant. So as you look at the first, I'm going to look at the first couple of verses just to get you rolling. It says, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh, and you shall swear to the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I have settled. But you shall go to my country and to my relatives and take up a wife for my son, Isaac. And the servant said to him, but perhaps the woman will not be willing to come along with me to this country. Must I take your son to the country from which you came? Abraham said to him, See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, from the land of my family, and from my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from there for my son." Now, those are the first seven verses, and obviously it goes on, like I said, for 67 different verses. And in those 67 verses, you see from this man, this Eleazar, the oldest, the senior member of the servants of Abraham, who had been blessed with so much by God because he was faithful to God. But all the rest of this chapter is Eleazar, the servant, the man from Damascus, and how he fulfills, how he serves his master Abraham. And it spells out for us, it points to us, the qualities, the steps, the attitude, the mindset that we should have as a servant of God. But beyond that, it also shows us how faithful God is when we do. Now, if we look at that last verse that I just read to start off chapter 24. In verse number 7, now these are the instructions that Abraham has given to his servant as he sends him out. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house. So Abraham's saying, look, I came here in obedience. Obedience. I came to the land of the Canaanites in obedience to God. God instructed me, and I obeyed. But now I'm not with the land of my fathers and my family. And so I'm living amongst a foreign people, and I don't want my son marrying into that foreign. I want my son marrying into people of my same faith, people of my same beliefs, my own flesh and blood, and my family and my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your offspring I will give to this land. He will send his angel before you. So he's saying, when the servant is asking, well, look, what happens if I go and I find this woman who can be the wife for your son, but she doesn't want to come back? This is the faith that Abraham has. He says, you go. You go and you do as I've instructed. And the Lord's going to take care of all those things. The Lord's going to go before you to prepare the path. So that's the faith of Abraham. But it also explains to us, or expresses to us, the faith of the servant as well. Because he commits, as we see in the verses that would follow, he commits himself to fulfill exactly what his master Abraham has said. And he goes forth, and as you go through the chapter, you're going to find out that exactly the words that Abraham spoke are the words that do come to pass, and that the woman does come with him, because God went before him. So we start off by seeing that this is the man, this is the servant, and the qualities that we see in all the verses that come from verse number three, well, actually from verse number 2, all the way through verse number 67, you see the qualities of one who is serving God. Here's the first thing. Again, I just quickly found 17 points. Here's the first one that we see in verse number 2. And Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand on my thigh. So he's looking for a pledge from this man, but he has entrusted Abraham, think of what Abraham is entrusting to this man. Here's the first quality of somebody who wants to be a servant, a godly servant to God. A godly servant to God is dependable and trustworthy, and has proven himself as dependable and trustworthy. Because here's this man, the servant to Abraham. He's modeling for us, if you will, what it is to be a servant, for us to be a servant to God. And he's proven to his master time and again that he's dependable and trustworthy. Because Abraham has entrusted him to rule over all that he had. So this servant is in charge and rules over all that Abraham has. And we know that Abraham is blessed and has plenty. But he's entrusted the care of all those things into the stewardship of this man. Stewardship is one of the first qualities that we see that is vital and important if we're going to be serving Jesus Christ. Stewardship means, and this is why it's important, it means that I understand in my life that which I have and that which belongs to me, even my very life. I'm merely a steward over it. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to Jesus Christ because he bought and paid for it. And everything that he has entrusted to me, everything God has entrusted to me, it's entrusted to me, but it does not belong to me. You see, this servant, he was put in charge of all of these things because he was dependable and trustworthy. As he proved himself to be dependable and trustworthy, as the days, the months, the years went by, he proved to his master that he was dependable and trustworthy. And obviously, over all the years, Abraham gave him more responsibility, entrusted more to him, until the point came when this man, this head steward, or this head servant, he ruled over all that Abraham had. He ruled over it all. He was entrusted with everything. God wants us to show ourselves dependable. The more that we prove ourselves to be trustworthy and dependable in the things that he's given us, and it starts with our lives and giving our lives to him, the more he's going to entrust to you. The more that you're going to be in charge over. You know, if you were in charge, if he gave you businesses and he gave you houses and he gave you lots of money, he's given it to you because you've proven that you're trustworthy and it's not yours. He's given it to you, though it belongs to him. You are merely a steward over it. So if he gives you businesses and houses and lots of money, the one who's the servant of God, and this is a foundation for us, the one who's a servant of God understands that it's merely his to see over, his to take care of, his to be the steward over. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. And the more we understand that, the more God is going to give to us. So here's the first point. If you want to be a servant of God and you want to truly have your life in service to him, and you want to truly see the things of God coming to pass, and you want to It's the servant of God who's going to understand and realize all the blessings, all the fullness. And you'll see that this man, this servant, enjoys the confidence, the trust. God has, the master has entrusted everything to him. And the power of God goes before him to accomplish the goals that God has in supernatural ways. Because he is, first and foremost, he's a servant of God. We need to be servants of God. That's where we'll find that peace, that joy, that happiness, and that fulfillment. And that's where we'll find that he makes us steward of more. And the first step in that is being a steward, being dependable and trustworthy in the things that God's given you stewardship over.